your hands together. Let me open up with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate you, worship you, and receive from you today. And right now in this moment, this is not a hapchance, this is just not a coincidence, but right now in this moment, you've designed for us to be here. And I believe you've designed for us to hear something from you. That something that would encourage, strengthen, guide, enlighten, direct, bring clarity, whatever it might be. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. As your word goes forth today, I pray it not be my words, but your words empowered by your spirit that would so charge the atmosphere of our world that we would never be the same. And we give you praise. All the glory goes to you. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. We've been doing this series on the red letters, the teachings of Jesus, the words of Jesus when he was on this earth, as identified by the Gospels. Because many translations, they'll all be read. And so we're talking about the things that Jesus has said when he was here and how that impacts our life. And I want to continue on with a conversation that we started last week where Jesus was talking to the disciples and dealing with stress or problems. And we opened up last week with a question in context of what are you facing? Because in life, we deal or face with problems and situations. Jesus said it. You're going to deal with trials. Some are generated by our own mistakes. But even if you do everything right, there'll be challenges. There's going to be problems. God didn't send them. God didn't create them. He's a solution. Jesus is very clear in John 10:10 when he said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. That's one side. But there is a thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the other side. So with the other side trying to hit you from time to time with problems or situations, we got to learn from the Word of God what's the best way to respond. Not react, but to act. Because when we find from the Word of God what our actions should be, it helps us become successful, victorious in those situations, as we referred to last week, if you're with us. It enables us to come out of the storm sooner, not later, and come out better, not worse. If we just react with anger or frustration or whatever it might be we've done in the past, and we've all made those mistakes, we're all learning, we're all growing, amen? And if you're still in that stage, you're important. Jesus loves you, but you don't have to stay there. Let's learn. Let's grow. Because if we handle it well, we can come out sooner, not later, and become better, not worse. If we don't do it correctly, according to the Word of God, we'll find ourselves or find people, we'll put it that way, who have been through stuff, but they allowed the stuff to get into them. So no longer is it someone hating them. Now they become hateful to others. We've heard the phrase, hurt people. Hurt people. What happens? We've all been hurt, but we don't all hurt. What is the difference? And that difference, I believe, we see in the Word of God is how we respond or act to when we were in that attack of the devil or the enemy. How we respond. Because when we focus on and think about just the problem, it's like making that a priority in your thought process. We use the illustration of the screen. That screen is not creating an image. It's a reflection of something that's projecting on it from the projector. In life, you have all these different projections coming to you. Some good, which is coming from God, and some bad, which is coming from the enemy. And that might not be a devil showing up and telling you. It might be someone who's just cruel or hurtful because they're in their own mess, or a disappointment or a bad situation, whatever it might be. A doctor's report that's negative. And all of a sudden, you're facing all this negative stuff. Well, if we keep our direction toward the negative projection, you will develop your own reflection of it. The Bible says it this way, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So there's a connection of what the world's trying to get you to do is to be shaped by what it's sending you. It's wanting you to be a reflection of its projection. So all of a sudden, if God forbid you are abused, now all of a sudden you become an abuser. Why would that happen? Because we focused on the negative and we became what we were focusing on. See, some people in our minds, the world will tell us and the devil will tell us that if you hate somebody who's done you wrong, then you're getting back at them. And the opposite is true. When you hate somebody, that's not showing the opposite of love. The opposite of love is not hate. Let me say that again. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. You know what hate is? Hate is an intense emotion that hooks you to the person or the object you hate. Man, I hate that person for doing me wrong. And they were wrong, and it shouldn't happen. And you shouldn't have been exposed to that. But when you hate them, you're actually positioning your focus to become them. And that's not fair. That's not right, because you deserve better. It's one thing to have to go through a storm. It's another thing to become the storm in your own world. That's why Jesus tells us to forgive. Forgiving somebody who's done you wrong doesn't say that they were okay to do what they did. Doesn't say you deserve to get what you got. Doesn't mean that you need to stay there and keep taking it. Doesn't mean that God's saying it's no big deal, and it is a big deal. Why God tells us to forgive is when you forgive, you are releasing yourself from their wagon. It's saying what you did is wrong. It's not acceptable. I'm not going to stay here and tolerate it. And I want you to know that I'm forgiving you. I'm not condoning it. I'm condemning the action, but I'm forgiving the person. Why? Because I don't want to stay in this. What you've done is wrong, but should have no right in dictating my potential or my destiny. Some people never reach potential because they connect themselves to the wrong group, and they get... Even they're like, man, I hate those people, but that's all they think about. And the people that did them wrong, they hate them and frustrated with. And the people that did them wrong never give you another thought. They never think about you anymore. And you're here spending all your emotional energy thinking how you want to get even. And they're not even, they're just enjoying their world. That's not fair. Why? And that's the power of forgiveness. It releases you from that toxic person so that you don't become toxic yourself. It releases you from that abusive person so that you can go forward in life, not become an abuser, and begin to enjoy the life that God had you to experience. See, one of the best, if you ever want to get even or revenge with somebody, it's not to hurt them. The best thing you can do is fulfill your destiny, right? Because when you're mad at somebody and they're happy, doesn't it make you more mad? So you ought to say, I'm going to be indifferent. I'm letting you go so I can go on, and you're not going to be a key part of my world no more. In my radar, I'm going to focus and redirect myself to the projection of God so that I can be a reflection of what he says I am in eternity or in finality of truth that I have yet to see in this temporary moment. See, God will tell you where you're going, just not where you're at. Where you're at is temporary. Where you're going, what God has seen is eternal, which is based on his truth. So when God says you're the healed of the Lord, you can look at your arm and say, man, that's still hurting. But that's temporary. What God is saying is beyond the moment. It's something that will last. And when we begin to redirect our attention to what God is projecting, we'll all of a sudden begin to have a reflection, become in the image, transformed into his nature, image, and character, have what he says we can have. So when God says you're blessed and you're checkbook says you're poor, checkbook's temporary. If you focus on poverty, guess what? If all you see is poverty, guess what? If all you think is poverty, guess what? If that's your focus, that'll become your reflection, and you'll be the next generation to repeat the last generation's mistakes. Amen. Or if you can say, you know what? There is more in store for me from God, and I'm going to turn my direction. And even though I don't understand it, even though I can't find all the steps to it, I'm going to start with God. And he said, that's why he's the author and finisher. He said that I'm to be blessed. I'm going to turn my direction, and in time, not overnight, in time, I'll become the projection, and you'll be the one that breaks the generational curse and become something totally different. There's always people that will have a breakout generation, a breakout person that will change the pattern that's been established for years. I'm thankful. I didn't mention this in the first two services. I'm personally so thankful for my own father who broke out from a generations of so many things that I don't have time to tell you. He grew up in intense poverty, grew up in intense abuse, no education, alcoholism. It just goes on and on. Generation, parents, uncles, aunts, grandparents, all the way, generation after generation. But he got saved at the age of 17 and said, I'm going to break out of this. Put himself through school and Bible school. So I'm going to break out of this. Got married, had a family, went into full-time ministries. I'm going to break out of this. And he broke out. It wasn't overnight, and it wasn't in the next moment of a great idea. But in the process of time, he broke the cycle of the enemy's weapons and tactics against his family. And I'm thankful because I became a beneficiary or benefit or recipient, you might say, of his willingness to break the cycle. So it doesn't just stop with you. It continues to those after you and those around you. I love movies when you see someone who breaks the cycle and all of a sudden it's based on a true story, like Rocky. I'm just seeing if you're listening to me. So I'm like, Rocky? That was a true story? No, I'm just seeing if you're listening. True stories where someone does something and they break the cycle and then now they're brothers and sisters. Go to college. Now their sons and daughters are successful in business. Because when you create a new environment, it opens the environment for other people to flourish themselves. Amen? Amen. And we got to learn how to turn that because it's just not stopping. I wish all the haters would just shut up and leave me alone. There's going to be haters no matter where you go. I wish everybody would love me. It's never going to happen. I wish all this negative stuff would just stop. It's not going to happen. Can't I just go a year without a challenge? Not going to happen. You shouldn't live in constant challenge, but if you think life is about a utopia of no challenges, it's not going to happen. You'll never get anywhere with the things of God because the enemy is going to show up every time you try to do something and go farther, and he's going to push the button to see if you still react the way you used to react. And if you keep reacting the way you've always reacted, you're just letting the devil know what he needs to do to stop you. Push the button. Why'd you do that? Because they said something. Well, now the devil knows how to throw you off. Come on. But when it doesn't work anymore, he stops using it. And it's not about stopping the negative projection. It's about changing our direction and focusing on God. Not getting caught up with this stuff, but beginning to see his stuff. My daughter this morning asked me, as we're getting ready, she said, Daddy, how warm is it? Do I need a coat? What's the temperature? So I quickly pulled out one of my smartphone and got on one of my apps. I have like 5 weather apps because I can't find one that's always right. So I figured if I got 5, you know, we got to make decisions. Do you have church or not have church? Ice storm, no ice storm. Come on, somebody. I just can't depend on one because none of them, I got to do an average of all 5, right? So I pulled them and I just randomly selected one. It said this morning it was like 30-something degrees. I was like, wow, we're almost to April. And then right below that, it said, are you ready? It says, feels like 27 degrees. So it's 30-something, which is cold, but it even feels colder. Personally, how do they know what it feels like to you? But anyway, there's somebody else. Feels, thank you, you got that. All right, feels like 27. So it is one thing, but it feels like another thing. One of the things you have to, for us to make the turn to the projection of God, you got to realize the way it feels is not the way it always is. Joyce Meyer did an amazing book called The Battlefield of Your Mind. There is this battle the enemy will attack you in the area between your ears, this thought process, your emotions and your perception, and you will feel one way, but that doesn't mean it really is that way. There'll be times you feel that everybody's against you, but that's not to mean that everybody is against you. You're going to feel like nobody's helping you, but you don't know what's going on. You might feel like God's left you and he's not doing anything, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. There's always a span between what it feels like to you and what it is actually happening. And if for us to turn this direction, we got to learn that there's going to be times that I don't feel it. You don't feel like you're a winner, or you don't feel like you're healed, or you don't feel like you're blessed, or you don't feel like you're on top, or you don't feel like Jesus is there. But Jesus said in his word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if he said it, that should be good enough, more important than what you feel. Right? Because if you allow what it feels like to be the primary information for you, you will go highs and lows all the time. If you only fight when you feel strong, then you'll not make it. Because the Bible didn't say, feel strong. It said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. If you're only nice to people when you feel happy, you're not going to be nice to people all the time. Because none of us feel happy all the time. And if you feel happy all the time, maybe you're smoking something stronger than air. I don't know. I'm just saying. The Bible tells us not to be moved by what we feel, hear, or see, but to be moved by the Word of God, which means I don't allow how it feels to direct my ship, my boat, the car of my life, if you will. When Jesus told the disciples, let's go to the other side, they had a storm. But Jesus didn't wake up and say, wow, big storm, turn around. No, because the storm should never direct your ship. If the problems direct your ship and you start only going to the place of least resistance, that's like water. Well, you know, the Lord's leading me. The Lord didn't lead you that way. You just didn't want to stand up and deal with the problem that you're facing. But if you don't deal with the giant, you can't take the promised land. It was the spies that came back and said, there's the promised land, but there's giants. I think we should just kind of stay where we're at. And God called it an evil report, which means literally, if you look in the Hebrew, it literally means to say a false statement about someone which negatively affects their reputation. But two said, we can take them. God will give us, has given us the land. The giants are no problem. Why? Because they weren't moved. But wait, they saw it. See, we get so stuck in, well, I'm just telling you the truth. No, you're telling me not the truth. You're telling me how you see it. And how you see it is not always the truth. It's your perspective of the situation, not the absolute truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes. He's the truth. The word of God is truth. And when you come into conflicting situations, you have to make a decision. Do I go by how I see it or by how God says it? In the Gospels, we went over this last week, but let me refer to this verse again in the context. Jesus said, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I'm not alone. Say, I'm not alone. When you deal with battles, you're going to feel alone. It might even look like you're alone. But you got to remember, you're not alone. For my Father is with me. Verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Take heart, have peace. When you go through storms, when you deal with problems, in a way that you come out sooner, not later, better, not worse, you got to keep in mind to keep peace in your heart. When the peace leaves and the storm comes in, you're allowing, what's happening? You're allowing the storm to shape you, which means that you're spending way too much time looking at the wrong projection. But man, it's really starting to get to me. I'm just facing this whole problem. Well, let's not face it, but it won't change. No, it will change. And you need information to know how to pray and to deal with it. Wisdom and knowledge are important. But sometimes we go way beyond that and we begin to live just in that world. That's all we see. And all that projection is creating us to have that, to begin to look like that. We are a reflection of that projection. And now that storm around us is getting in us. And Jesus said, you don't have to do that. You can turn. And even though there's a storm around you, still have peace. When they woke Jesus up in the storm, he didn't freak out and say, let's turn around. What did he do? He rebuked the wind and then spoke peace to the water. And he looked at them and said, why are you waking me up? Basically, you can read it into it. He's challenging them, saying, why didn't you deal with this? Why'd you wake me up? You could handle this. Because he already told them before. He said, hey, I've given you the authority. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Loose on earth is loose in heaven, which means what you allow will be allowed, and what you say no to has to stop. What you say no to in the natural by your words and your belief has to stop in the realm of the spirit. That's enough. Then what you do not see, things come to a halt. But Jesus was able to do that because the storm wasn't on the inside of him. The peace was on the inside. And he released the greatness of God on the inside of him to the temporary situation he was dealing with. See, we want to in life. It's a human. When we face problems, we want to turn this situation around. And we work so hard to turn the situation around. But many times we're doing it all in our own energy and we're burning our own energies to turn the situation around, and the situation hasn't been turning. And the key thing is, if you really want to see the storm around you or the situation around you to turn around, then it doesn't start with what's around you, it starts with what's in you. We got to learn to turn it around on the inside of us. And the way we do that, and the key element of that, is what the Bible says is the word of God. For you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty in this area of our thought process and emotions. And the weapons that God's given us, one of the weapons is a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. which tells me that if you're going to go to battle with a sword, you got to make sure you pull the sword out. Amen. Right? I got this sword. See that sword? That's a big sword. No, they're already charging. You have to make a decision. If you want to win this battle, we have to pull the word. We have to get the word. We got to get the word. Say, get the word out. Come on, work with me. Say, get the word out. Let me give you three things if you're taking notes on how we need to get the word out that brings victory in your life. Are you ready? We're going to talk about the story of David in 1 Samuel. Here's David. David and Goliath. Love the story. Don't read it as a fairy tale story. Read it like a magazine. There's so much wisdom and depth in what's happening here. David has already been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king, but he's gone back to working as a shepherd. And his father calls him and says, I want you to take food to your brothers and to the leaders. So he's just now serving, still serving, anointed to be king, still serving, anointed to be king, called for something greater, but still serving. A lot of times we think greatness defines us to act away from service, but really service will bring you to a level of greatness, but that's another thing for another time. And David shows up and hears Goliath challenging Israel, and they're hiding. We have two armies, two sides, the Philistine army and Israel. Israel, in that, according to historical times, they did not have weapons because under the attack of the Philistines, they took away all their weapons. So they had like, they were like farmers. So here you are, they have the hoes and all the stuff you would till the ground with. That's their weapons. Only the king and a few key people had a sword. So that's not a fair fight, is it? No wonder they're scared, because here's a whole army that has weapons. They don't have anything that's really a great weapon, but they have something. And they're hiding. And Goliath comes out and says, we don't have to kill a lot of people. We'll do one-on-one. Me against anybody you pick. Winner takes all. Sounds like a good deal until you look at Goliath, potentially 10 to 13 feet tall, and the best of the best. He'd make our MMA fighters look like a bunch of girls. Come on, somebody. This guy was huge, strong, mean, and loud. Come on. He was ready to fight, willing to fight, and willing to just, he was just mean. And so everybody's hiding. And David hears this. And here's Goliath challenge Israel. Now, an interesting fact is, well, many theologians believe that he would come out and challenge them vocally, verbally, loudly throughout the day, and it would always be at the time that they were praying. When Israel was scheduled to pray, Goliath would show up. When they're trying to worship God, Goliath would show up. When they're trying to focus on the Lord, Goliath would show up, and he would mock them and their God. I'm telling you, when the times you start to pray, when you're in a battle, the devil's going to try to show up and whisper in your ear. You're trying to get on your knees and pray, and all you can think about is that bad doctor's report. You're trying to read the Bible and focus on God, and all you can hear is the devil whisper, you're going to die. Your marriage is falling apart. You're going to lose everything financially. What are your kids going to do? The devil starts screaming louder. Have you ever noticed that he screams louder when you begin to try to spend time with God? And David said, is there not a cause? And so David's conversation about what's the reward, is there not a cause, finds himself in the tent with the king. You know this story. King gets convinced about this, and we're going to pick up at this verse right here. Then David, he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Let's go to the next verse. Meanwhile, the Philistine, which... with his shield bearer in front of him. His stuff is so big, he had to have somebody carry it for him. Can you imagine? Kept coming closer to David. Now let me ask you, he's coming closer now. He sees David. David can't hide anymore. He is out in front of the radar of everybody. He is out there. There's no chance for backing out of this. There's no chance of redirect or talking yourself out of this. You are out there. And the enemy's coming closer. What did David bring with him? We'll keep it on this verse so you can't tell. What did he have with him? A sling? Very good. 5 smooth stones? Some believe that's because Goliath had 4 brothers, but I mean, that's 5 smooth stones. What? The Spirit of the Lord, thank you. What else did he have? For those who were in the earlier services, thank you. His staff. Do you know he took his staff with him? What's the importance of a staff? Oh, that's a shepherd's staff. You know what I mean? That's for him to help keep the sheep together. Yeah, you're right. But if it was just for that, why not leave it with the sheep? Oh, that staff is what they use in our culture to walk with. That helps them walk. That could be true. But if it was just for that, why not leave it in the tent? He's on his way to the battlefield. He's on his way. Any good soldier knows that when you go to battle, you need to take the necessities and not the luxuries. If you're in the military and you're going to war, you don't start finding the things that, I need to take my smartphone so I can play games. No, you don't. You take the necessities, not the luxuries. Right? You take the... So why take... If it was just for the sheep, why not leave it with the sheep? If it was just for walking, why not leave it with the king? I'm here to tell you, and I believe, and I'll show you why, that I believe that staff was for those, but even much more. I believe that staff represented something that was so powerful, connecting David to his God. What they would do with their staff is they would carve on it. What they would carve on their staff is the things that would remind them of what God had done, which reminds them of who God is. So he would, with David's story that he told Saul, I guarantee you that he had carved onto his staff some image that represented the victory that God gave him with the lion and the bear. Because the reminder, having that staff reminded him of what God had done, which connected him on who God is. Let me say it again. The carvings on that staff would remind him what God had done in the past, which connected him to who God is. You see that playing out because when King Saul says to David, you're too young, you can't fight. What was David's response? King, let me tell you. There was a day when I was with my father's sheep and a lion and a bear came out. Remember that story? Then David concludes or ends it with this. O king, just as God delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will also deliver me from the hand of this Philistine giant, for he will be as one of these. His remembrance of what God did in his life connected him to who God is. The connection of who God is ties him to where God is, what God is going to do in the future. Let me break that down. Revelation tells us this. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their Matthew 13 talks about the planting of the word, and one of the first tactics of the enemy is to get you to forget what God is saying. If you don't know who he is, you don't know what he can do. And if you don't know what he can do, then you don't know how bold to be in what you're doing. But when you know what he's done and you can remind yourself of what he's done, then it connects you to who he is. When it connects you to who he is, you can make the connection that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he did it then, he's going to do it now. Jesus said, abide in me, my words abide in you, then you shall ask. There's a connection. Have you ever heard the phrase, give a man a fish, you can feed him for a meal. Teach a man how to fish, you'll feed him for life. It's one thing to receive a healing experience from Jesus. It's another thing to connect to the healer himself. It's one thing to receive a financial blessing from the provider. It's another thing to be connected to the provider himself. See, when you get connected on not only just what he's done, but who he is, that makes the connection for everything in your future. David never had to worry about a lion and a bear. He was never afraid ever again about a lion and a bear after he had the experience of who God was even in that story. And he was able to take what God did in the past victory and apply it to his future problems. He took the victories of yesterday that God did and applied it to his future problems. See, what do? We can get so emotionally caught up in the storm that we forget where God's been and what God's done and who God is. One of the things you need to do is bring the word out. Start reminding yourself what God has done and connecting yourself with who God is. Lord, you know the doctor just gave me a better report, but you know, I remember 17 years ago when I was sick and you healed me of that. And here's it in your word, Father God. What are you doing? You're reminding yourself. What was Israel's problem on the way out of Egypt? Every time God did something, they forgot quickly what he had done. And all they could see is the problem ahead. You know what we do? We get so caught up in the problem, we forget where we've been, what God has done. Start reminding yourself. That's what God says, remind ye me of my word. Why? Does God forget? No, you do. And when you remind God of his word, it's not because he forgot. It's because you need the encouragement of hearing it again. Hearing it again. And hearing it again. And you hear it again. And you hear it again. And you read it again. And you listen to it again. And you keep saying that story. And you keep telling what the word says. And you get that word in your heart, Matthew 13. And it's like seed. And you keep planting it. And you keep planting it. And you keep planting it. And you do it every day. And you do it in the evening. Joshua 1:8, you meditate and get that word in your heart. And you are making yourself successful. You are making your way process. Why? Prosperous. Why? Because you're getting the word in your life. And you don't do it. The word does something that you can do. All you're doing is giving the word priority and opportunity to bring a change in your life. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't do the transformation. You just open up your life to allow the word to do what only the word can do. And as Isaiah 55:11 says, it will not return void, but it will accomplish that to which is sent. Matthew 13 says, a man who plants a garden or plants seeds and wakes up and goes to bed, wakes up and goes to bed every day and looks at it. He does not know how it works, but one thing he knows, it does work. You don't have to have it figured out to know it works. You get in that word and you remind yourself of the word. You remind yourself what God has done. And all of a sudden, that connection of what he's done is connecting you to his nature, his character. And all of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute. You just don't heal. You're the healer. You're the healer. Just not then, but every day. You just don't heal occasionally. You're a healer. It will change your world. I remember the day when I was in prayer and we were before service and that years ago and the church at that time was struggling trying to make ends meet. And all of a sudden in prayer, the Lord spoke to me and I heard out of my spirit saying, Father, I thank you. What a privilege and opportunity it is to trust you for the financial blessings of this ministry. But wait a minute, I don't have to depend on the world. I don't have to depend on the economy. I don't have to depend on Mr. or Mrs. whoever. I depend on God. God is the source. You don't have to depend on your job. Praise God for it. You got to work hard. But you're not. Your final source is not your job. It's an avenue that God uses to bless you. It's an avenue that God uses to bless you. When you begin to say, oh, they're saying recession, I better be careful, I can't. No. Recession's not your source, God's your source. You're connecting to the vine. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, one translation says, I shall not lack any good thing. David, I'm telling you, when David was out there, notice what happened. Did we read that verse about the stick yet? Guess we didn't. Let's throw it up. And meanwhile, man, you guys are good. Meanwhile, the Philistine with the shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. And he said, notice this. Verse 42, he looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy, which means redheaded and handsome. And he despised him. Verse 43, he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. He didn't say, am I a dog that you came at me with rocks? Because the rocks were a tool, but they weren't the connection, the key tool. What was he intimidated by? He didn't understand the staff. And so he attacked David in the effort to devalue the staff in David's mind. The enemy will come and try to devalue the word of God in your heart. He will come and try to tell you, oh, that's just church stuff on Sunday. You live in the real world. Let me tell you, there's something greater than your temporary real world. It's what Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before this word will fail. And if it doesn't make sense to your brain, you can still hook onto it and believe it and receive it. I don't understand it all. It still works. Oh, no, that sounds good, Pastor. You're a preacher, and Pastor, you got to say that on Sunday. That's what the devil tells you, and that's why your teeth is getting knocked out on Monday. That's why your finances are busted on Friday. That's why your body is hurting on Thursday. It's because you haven't got to the place to say and understand, God, if you said it, you meant it, you're alive today as you were before. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change, and your word works. Oh, that's good, you know. Yeah, I just don't even, and you'll never have it. You can't believe, you can't receive it. David began to lift up the staff, and Goliath began to challenge the authenticity of that staff. He called it a stick. Stick means common, no, not really any benefit. But it wasn't a stick, it was a staff. And David didn't go into a dissertation of why this is not a stick. Oh, giant, you're big, and I'm planning on killing you in a minute, but let me explain to you, or let me explain. This is not a stick, this is important to me. Are you listening to me? When you go through battle, you don't have to explain spiritual truths to carnal thinking. That's not the time to explain yourself. When God tells you to do something from His Word, you don't have to get everybody's opinion about it. Well, I don't know if that will work. It's not going to work for you, but I'm not looking for your opinion. I'm not here to explain to the enemy why what I have is connecting me to a greater God than the temporary problem. David got the word out. It reminded him. And when Goliath would say something, I'm telling you, David held up the staff. Goliath was afar off. He's a big dude. But every time David could look at Goliath, in his visual was the promise. I'm not saying you're denying the reality of the temporary, but you're acknowledging the importance of the eternal. I'm keeping that word before me. I'm keeping that promise before me. Doesn't mean you walk around at your job doing this. But it means if you have to, when you're driving down the road, you get the word in you. Not just anything, whatever you're dealing with. You're struggling in finances, you get something on the word, on finances and money. You start getting the word, what the word says about blessings. You start getting the word about healing if you're dealing with sick. Whatever it might be, there's promises of God for that specific. You get that word in you, and you remind yourself what God's done. Now notice what happens next. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the fields. I don't know about you, but if you're a young kid facing a big giant, this is quite intimidating. Come here, and I'm going to make you my pet food. Come on, somebody. And David said to the Philistines, you come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you. Notice, did David put down the stone? No. Did David let down the staff? No. But David understood that the tools of the trade were not the key elements of the victory. The key elements was understanding that he was coming in the name, which means authority, of the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, whom you have defied. What was he saying? Goliath, you see me, but it's just not me. You're looking at me, but it's just not me. I haven't come just in my strength, because my strength can't kill you. But the strength and the authority of God, the kingdom of God, are you with me? The creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I stand as a representative of him. He's backing me up today. Whom you have defied. Now notice this. Next verse. This day, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. And today I'm going to give the pretty tough talk, especially if you don't even have a sword. I'm telling you, you begin to say what God says. You'll begin to say what God sees. And God, the Bible says, who sees the end equally as he does from the beginning, who sees the future and the past. He doesn't tell you where you're at. He tells you where you're going. And even though we can't always connect the dots, trust and know that in the journey, what you do not have, you will find to pick up. What was David doing? At first, he reminded himself of the promises. He got the word up. What's he doing next? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He began to decree it to the enemy. He had enough word in him that became alive that it wasn't just a suggestion, it was a command. And he began to tell Goliath, let me tell you how this is going to end. Let me tell you how this next chapter is going to be. You're telling me I'm going to die. I say I'm going to live. You're dying. He began to say, but God says, Matthew 4, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, every time he responded with, it is written. Say, it is written. It is written. I like to say, but God said. When you start feeling the pain, the devil says you're going to die, you say, but God said, I'm the healed of the Lord. When the devil starts whispering in your ear, that was your last nickel. You shouldn't have gave that away. Oh, you're going, what are you going to do now? But God said, I'm blessed. I'm the head and not the tail. When the devil starts screaming at you, no, but God said. Notice this. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army. You gotta love David. Most people would be like, I'm gonna take you down. Maybe bold say, I'm gonna take you down and probably kill you.
Let's say, I'm going to take you down, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to cut your head off. I don't have a sword yet, but I'm going to cut your head off. But David turned it, what the enemy said against him, he flipped it and magnified it. He said, you're going to feed my body to the animals? Let me tell you what, I'm going to feed your body and the armies that you came with. I'm going for you and your friends and cousins. I ain't messing with one. I'm going to take you all. You thought I was scared of you? I'm coming for you and everybody you know. Because the God I serve is going to put you all in. Oh, my God. Birds in the air and the beasts of the earth. And notice, in the whole world. And the whole, you got to help me out, third service. I've been preaching. And the whole world will what? And say the whole world. The whole world will what? What is he doing? He got, when he started, he got the word out to remind them what God had done. When he was in the battle, he got the word out and began to declare. And at the end phases, he's reminded the devil that when it's all said and done, I'm not being silent about this one. I'm going to get the word out and let people know that Jesus still heals. He still delivers. He still saves. He still blesses. Whatever it might be, you let the devil know that when it's all said and done and I get this dust off me, I want you to know I'm going to still be here and I'm going to not only defeat you, but I'm going to tell some people. It doesn't stop with me. It doesn't stay with me. I'm going to reach out and help others. I'm going to get the word out. Say, get the word out. Say, get the word out. What do we need to do? Pull that out. Pull out that sword. Get the word out and watch what God does. It turning you so that you can turn the situation. And in the battles, you'll come out sooner, not later. Better, not worse. We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.